Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Balls Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Mr. Paul Mack. Happy New Year, Fowl. How's it going, man?
Happy New Year, Bubba. How we doing? 2024.
Hey, man.
Let's see what it brings.
New Year, new me. I guess that's what everybody's on, huh?
I'm sure the gym is popping right now for the next 6 weeks, and then it'll die back down again.
Can I tell you that when I went to the gym today, it was ridiculous? It's always like this around this time.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets them discounted memberships, man.
Listen, the exposure that is going on with this whole New Year's resolution, the gym culture.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I was trying to do legs today, but everything was taking far as legs. I'm like, now I know when y'all first come out to the gym, y'all don't want to work legs. I can't even do legs, so I had to work chest.
They use legs so arms. They can sit down so they can post on Instagram that they're at the gym. They're like this.
On the leg machine. New me. I'm working out, man. Let's go. Yeah. Like, guys, yeah. I'm literally trying to do my legs today.
Yeah, do it like me, man. I got a bunch of sandbags and stuff for the house. So I don't got to go to the gym. I'm just gonna get Farmer Strong just to throw sandbags and kettlebells around.
I see, man, in your little ice bathtub. You ain't playing,
baby.
Bro.
Nah, bro, that's it. Cold therapy every morning, baby. 3 to 5 minutes every morning. Let's go.
Was that the Christmas gift from the gal?
Yes, sir.
Or from the... Yes, sir. Dude, that was nice, man. I was like, look at Paul, man, over here. Yeah. Doing archery, releasing his body. Bro, you really are taking in this the body is a temple type that's of it. Thing that you're doing here right
We're
now.
Trying. We're trying. Diet starts on Monday. So we're just detoxing the rest of this week, getting all the last of the holiday junk out of the house, and then diet starts on Monday, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I got to get back into it myself, man. It's always hard around this holiday times, and I was doing the keto stuff really strong, and now he's like, yeah, I got to get back onto it. I gained a few pounds, but
We had a trip. We had a trip planned. We were going to go to Austin, Texas in February. But MegaCon's in February, so we got tickets to MegaCon in Orlando. So then we pushed Austin back to May. So I got 6 months to get, 5 months-ish to get right. So now it's time.
All right. Easy money. You got this, Paul.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get into week 17. So let's go and talk about the Ravens, man. The Ravens dominated the Dolphins to secure the AFC number one seed in the conference. They pretty much dropped the Dolphins 56-19. Does the score tell the whole story, Paul, about this game?
I think it says a lot about Miami. I think it's what we thought about Miami all year. You know, they go into these big games and they just shit the bed every time. It feels like they can't win a big game against a big team. You know, Buffalo's on their heels now. Like, now they're going into week 18 where that game literally means everything to them.
Yeah,
which you would 3-4 weeks ago you thought Miami was cruising. Miami was, they got to worry about nothing. They should be resting their starters. How Baltimore is going to be doing in week 18? But I'll say it. I owe Baltimore a little bit of an apology. I said some things about Baltimore a few weeks back. But this is also kind of my thing is they do this to you, good luck. But come playoff time in a close game, I still want to see him pull out a close one. They've just been steamrolling people pretty much all season. When they win big.
They have, man.
Lamar Jackson, I guess just give him the MVP at this point. I mean, I know we're going to probably get on that later, but that man is playing phenomenal football. You know, it's crazy to watch because he's not doing it with his legs anymore. He is throwing that thing all over the yard. And, you know, good for him, showing people he can throw, showing all these GMs that didn't want him, that, you know, people talk about how they don't want to give him a big contract. He didn't deserve a big contract in the offseason. Man got his contract, and he's showing why.
Now, Paul, I was going to ask, a lot of Dolphin fans have been talking about injuries with their team. Bradley Chubb just went down with a torn ACL for the rest of the year, and they've been battling injury with Tyreek Hill, numerous other players. Is that an excuse for them? Or, I mean, I know everybody dealing injuries, but at the same time, these are the games that you have your star quarterback, you got your main threat at the wide receiver position that's at one, you know, he's got 1,700 yards. I know he's trying to get to 2,000, but he's pushing for the, you know, maybe be in the MVP discussions. That legit excuse for them. I know they're dealing with some injuries for real, but I know the talk about Dolphin fans has been, well, we've been injured, but it's been a thing with you the whole year. It's like, these are the games that y'all need to win, and y'all not winning them, you know?
I mean, it's everyone's excuse right now. I mean, Tyreek Hill played. You know, think that, you know, they didn't have Jalen Waddle, but you know, Devon Achane ran for over 100 yards.
Moser didn't play either, right?
Moser didn't play either. No. But I mean, Achane ran for 107. You don't really need Mostert if Achane's running for 107. He also caught for 30. So he had 140 yards by himself. No touchdowns. Baltimore just didn't let him get in the end zone. Miami didn't really have a problem moving the ball. Tua had two turnovers, and they couldn't get in the end zone. And that's the difference in defense. Baltimore's got a top-tier defense right now. Their defense is, you know, lights out. And you stack that defense with that way that offense is playing right now, and I don't think it matters if they were 100% or not. I don't think it would have made a difference. They might have got – even if you gave them a couple extra points, you know, two more touchdowns, they still lose by 20. Like, it's still not close. It's still not close. There's no way you can play that game and be like, oh, well, if we had so-and-so. No, it doesn't matter.
And as you mentioned, Paul, the score is 56-19. So they got mollywop, they got dropped, they got beaten bad. Like, so me hearing a few of these players that's missing the injury, it's not, no. Like, that's why I hear these excuses. Like, nah, it's like, it's the tape is on the Dolphins, man. I really feel like, I know they're dealing with some injuries, but they may be an upset alert in the first round. Like, that's just my two cents. My opinion is only worth two pennies. So, like, but this is what I see. I just feel like they're out in the first round. Like, whoever match up against them and whoever they get against them, they can potentially upset the Dolphins.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see this Buffalo-Miami game this week because the winner of that gets the 2 seed. So, if Miami's first playoff game is going to be a road game, they're gone.
Good luck. Good luck.
But the way they're playing, if it's a home game, depending on who they stack up against in that first round, you know, who knows? I don't know, man. It's crazy.
So, yeah. So to mention, you talked about the Ravens defense. Ever since they got Wokon Smith from the Bears, they kind of woken up, man. Even this game right here, they capitalized on turnovers, turned two of those three takeaways into scores. So it's really just shout out to the defense, man, putting the offense in these situations. And when you put Lamar Jackson and you play the field positioning and the advantage of that, and you got a dynamic quarterback and a running threat, and they got one of the better running teams in the league, now you add on threats to that he can pass the ball. OBJ, who you know very well, Zay Flowers is a talented offensive rookie that they got that's been showing up pretty well. So
the emergence of Isaiah Likely is interesting too. Like with Mark Andrews going down, just next man up. Like that, and that's the difference. Like you can cry about injuries all you want, but Mark Andrews was a valuable weapon for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Guy goes down and just next man up. Zay Flowers steps up. Odell Beckham steps up. Isaiah Likely slides in. You know, it's just next man up, man. And it's the mentality of the team. And Baltimore, the crazy thing about Baltimore is you hear him in the press conferences. You hear Lamar Jackson speak after these games. And he's just focused on the next game. He's not looking at anything. He's just got eyes on whoever they're playing next. He doesn't care what people are saying about him. He doesn't care what people have said about him. He's just like, yeah, well, you know, we're going to next week play and let the chips fall where they may. We're just going to go out there and we're going to play. And
that's
hats off to him.
Yeah. And that's what I appreciate about Lamar Jackson, as you mentioned. He's focused on to just moving on week by week. And all the noise that came into him during the offseason with all this contract and dispute and everything like that, dude just handling things the right way. He went out there as much as he should have been. And so, I mean, props for him propelling the Ravens into the position that they are right now. This season has been just, as usual, as a roller coaster. We really don't have even though Ravens are pretty much the favorite right now, the parity right now is just insane that it's I don't know, man. It's probably for like one of those years that maybe a wild card might get to the post or might get to the Super Bowl this year. That's how weird this season has been, just how it can play out. But
a lot of weird trends. Yeah, there's a lot of weird trends. Like there's a lot of teams who are better home teams than road teams. So depending on who matches up against who, depending on where the standings fall, like there's a lot of teams that are in jeopardy. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out after week 18, because there's still a lot to unfold with the playoff picture. Yeah. Whether especially in the AFC. The AFC is kind of wild right now. A lot of scenarios going on in the AFC.
Bananas, man. What's your thoughts about Lamar Jackson MVP campaign? I know we switch this every week to Brock Purdy to then we go from Dak Prescott. Lamar Jackson's quietly kept his team in the running and now they're clinching on one seat in the AFC.
I mean, after what Lamar Jackson's done the last like 3 weeks, what they did to San Francisco. I mean, I know Brock Purdy turned the ball over a whole lot, and the defense had a lot to do with it. But Lamar was just making plays, coming out 56-19 over Miami. And when you look at their roster, like they don't have a roster like the Niners do. Like, they don't have Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. They don't have all these guys. They just got a bunch of complimentary guys that play well together. They've been there for a little bit. I mean, you throw Odell Beckham in, gives you a little bit of a veteran wide receiver. He's getting 1 to 3 catches a game. They're pretty dynamic most of the time. But, you know, Gus Edwards stepping up as a running back. I know they had some injuries at the running back position earlier in the year, but Lamar's making the most of what he has. And I think that's the most impressive thing. Is just you look at these numbers week after week, and you can't look at a guy and say he's not leading the way after coming out and doing what he's done against the Niners and then against the Dolphins. So for me, Lamar Jackson is the front runner right now, just because there were those lulls for the Niners a little bit. I know they had injuries and all that stuff, but I mean, when you're elite, you're elite, and he's elite every week.
Yeah. No, Lamar's been fantastic. Even the game he only had 3 incompletions. He was 18 for 21. Yeah, you know, he had 321 passing yards and 5 touchdowns, man. Like, Baltimore scored on 4 touchdowns in the first 5 possessions, finishing the game with 8 red zone trips. So Lamar Jackson had a perfect pass rating. This is third time in NFL history having a perfect pass rate. He joined the likes of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, and Ben Roethlisberger. To me, that screams MVP for Lamar Jackson. I mean, I know his numbers on the years not stellar as compared to a Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott. You know, he had 3,700 yards for the year, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 5th in the league in pass rating. He's not top 10 in pass completed, pass attempts, passing yards, and he just 10th in passing touchdowns. I mean, it's not pretty, but he's winning games. He's leading his teams and winning games, and he's doing what he should, and it's he's taking advantage of what his defense has put him in position to do.
And I think you have to look at the fact of the division too. Like, look at, you know, I mean, six of their games are against pretty much their entire division was in the playoff hunt until last week. The Bengals were still in it. Pittsburgh still in it. Cleveland clinched. So, I mean, their whole division was practically playoff teams, which is wild.
Yeah.
And Baltimore, Cleveland's got a phenomenal defense. He had to play against them twice. You know, but went up against Pittsburgh twice, Cincinnati twice. So we look at the competition. He went up against the Niners. The Niners had a, you know, really, really good defense, and he did what he had to do against the Niners as well. So, I mean, when you look at it that way, like, he doesn't have to go out and put up huge numbers because they do a great job with their defense of controlling the clock. They control time of possession as much as they can. They're not out there trying to score in a hurry, and just they score a lot of points just because they're just dominant offensively right now, and their defense is keeping the other team on the other side of the field, so they're getting good field position a lot of the times. But I mean, you can't penalize him for not having a lot of passing attempts or a lot of passing touchdowns. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The team's 13-3. They're doing just fine.
Yeah. Nah, he's doing what he's supposed to, and it's not gonna ask for him to do so. But nah, this kudos to them. They can rest. Congratulations to Baltimore clinching the AFC number one seed and having a home field advantage. And so now you can really kind of rest up some of these wounds and go from there. All right, next game, Dallas Cowboys had a controversial ending against the Detroit Lions. The game, the Cowboys ended up winning 20-19. Thoughts on that overturn 2-point conversion?
Referees stink, man. That's it. We'll just get it started. Referees fucking stink, dude. Like, before the play, you even saw 68 over in front of the official. Like, 70 ran on later on. Like, 70 wasn't even there. The ref just assumed because 70 was calling himself eligible the whole game that 70 was the eligible guy. Whatever the situation may be, it's just crazy that happens, that Detroit could have won that game, locked down a high seed in the NFC, probably number two seed at that point. Yeah. You know, it sucks, but you know, it is what it is. The refs are going to make these plays, and they've been making some wild calls all year, whether it be the Kadarius Toney stuff, whether it be all the other wild things that refs just have too many hands in the game right now. And I think that's part of the problem. Because it's going to get to a point where you're going to have to just literally have a microphone on every player, and these guys are, hey, me, I'm the guy, me. Like, you can't – the refs just aren't picking it up, and they're costing people games. And, you know, kudos to Dan Campbell, because that man was going for the win, and I admire that. Like, he was playing for the number two. Like, he was like, we're going to win this game. We're not going to overtime. We're going to win it right now.
Yeah,
so he's setting the league up. Letting them know how this is how the Lions are going to play. Admirable, but you know, need some better play out of your quarterback. I mean, Jared Goff had two turnovers. The Lions probably could have won that game outright, but Jared Goff's turnover prone. So, you know, it is what it is. It's more interesting now to see Dallas and Philly kind of close out the year. So, see who gets the division winner against the home game, because obviously that's way more important to Dallas. So kudos to Dallas for holding on, but I think the Lions got shafted on that one.
Yeah. So the Cowboys perfect home record almost came to a screeching halt, but it's one of those things that you see and you see the guy declare that where he was eligible and funny thing is too, man, they had a call that brought it back. And then they was, and Dan Campbell still went for it again, which you thought, like, okay, well, let's get the field goal. He's like, no, we're going to go for it again. So I admire the gall that this guy has. And as you saw, it was evident throughout the season. Even in week one, he went for it against the Chiefs. And it's just, it's listen, it's one of those that it's a numbers game. You got to respect someone like that, that is willing to take the gamble and put faith in his team and his players to get it done. You know, it just only can motivate you. Like, man, I can't really let this guy down. You know what I'm saying? So, but no, it was frustrating, man. It's one of those that you look at the Cowboy that kind of blew their chances in this game to really cement it, because they went 75 yards down in the final 2 minutes to get back into the game. And this is the Detroit line. So look no further than Cowboys' final possession, where Donovan Wilson interception with two minutes and 11 seconds left to play. Then there was a triple penalty that came out to be a first of 25. And it's all you need is one first down to just kind of milk the clock. So the Cowboys kind of almost screwed themselves in the push them there, but kind of got bailed out on that last call. Me personally, because I know the offense that Detroit has, I probably would have took the chance and tried to get the flip coin and went on the touchdown. I would have just kicked the extra point. But for Dan Campbell to say, screw it and go for it, then, yeah, it's admirable, man. It's admirable. So,
in that kind of a game, like, it's different. Like, I remember last year when the first game of the year, the Giants were playing, and Brian Daboll went for two, and he got the win last year. And the opening week, it's like, okay, this guy's got balls. It's just a different thing when you do it in week one versus when you do it in week 17. When you're playing for a number two seed, you know, and it's just crazy. And I mean, kudos to him for having the confidence in his team to do that. But also at the same time, do you think that maybe he didn't have the confidence that if they lost the coin flip that they weren't gonna, you know, have confidence in his defense at that point? So it kind of goes both ways. We have the opportunity to close it now. Let's just close it and not give them another opportunity. Because CeeDee Lamb was going off on him.
Dude went off, man. He broke Michael Irvin's receptions and receiving passing records.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dude went off, man. He had one pass like 92 yards long. So 13 catches, 227 yards, man. And if it won for that, the passing game, the running game didn't help the Cowboys. Tony Pollard only got 49 yards off 18 carries. So
yeah,
that didn't really help out. So that's probably why the game is a little bit closer than what it is. The rushing attack that Cowboys usually have is pretty decent, which was pretty much non-existent against this Detroit Lions team, which you can run the ball on them. So I was surprised that they didn't get off, especially at home too. They're a really good team that can just get comfortable at home. They haven't lost there all year. So
Sucks because it's like, it's one of those plays at the end of the game where Detroit completes that. Dan Campbell's the man.
Oh, absolutely.
And it doesn't work out. And it's like, why did he do it? But then it's like, well, the referees made a mistake. So technically it's like the play did work, but the referees messed it up and they called him for an illegal formation and an ineligible man. But the man was actually eligible, so it wasn't an illegal formation. It was a whole thing. So yeah, man, it's crazy. It's bonkers.
Yeah, it's and listen, I don't want to be any rep shoes. Their job is already hard enough, man. And it's just one of those that it's at least in sports, man, it's probably one of the hardest jobs you gotta do with making real time calls and game time like in split seconds, and you really human error just come into play. whenever you're refereeing, you just error. But then you want to go in and not mess up the flow of the game and go review some of these calls, because now you mess up the flow of the game. So it's really just like a catch-22 with this. I don't know how much more can you develop reps. Do you need to add additional one? I don't know, man. I'm not part of the NFL staff and agency that deal with the reps and stuff like that. I don't know what you do to kind of help with this situation. But, I mean, there's some things that's out of your control. There's some things that's not in your control, you know?
Yeah, like luckily, I mean, it really didn't matter much for Detroit, I think, but it is what it is. It would have looked nice on the resume.
Absolutely. All right. The Pittsburgh Steelers defeat the Seahawks 30-23, securing Mike Tomlin another season with a winning record. What'd that make? 17? I think 17. Thoughts about this accomplishment, man. I know a lot of people was calling for his head early. Listen, I take my time as a head coach. I don't care. Listen, he should not. If he gets unemployed, he should be unemployed for a very short time. But
yeah, not very long. No.
Talk about him, Paul, his achievement that he got.
Yeah, man, it's impressive. Like, and even earlier in the year, I don't think people were really blaming him. I know there was a lot of the offensive coordinator stuff. Matt Canada was making some suspect decisions. And then they went and got rid of him. And, you know, honestly, in the last few weeks, after all that George Pickens stuff was happening, where they were kind of talking about him a lot, and Mike Tomlin's just, you know, he must have taken him off camera somewhere where no one heard him, and he probably gave him a talking to. But the last couple of weeks, George Pickens has showed up. He's playing hard. You know, Najee Harris is running the ball really, really well, and Mason Rudolph, he feels like he's been on the Steelers forever, and he just doesn't get on the field, but he's making the most of an opportunity. I don't know if that's just him riding the Christmas spirit or what, but Rudolph has gotten the sleigh, and he's doing a hell of a job, man. 18-24, 274, no turnovers. Going into Seattle,
it's a good team they beat too.
It's great team they beat. Yeah, a really good team, full strength team. They didn't really have any injuries, no excuses, but. You know, Mike Tomlin is just one of those guys, man. He just gets the most out of his players.
And yeah, man.
Looking at that division, looking at kind of the season that Pittsburgh had, you'd think they'd be around 500 at best. But I mean, now they're literally fighting for a playoff spot going into Week 18. What more can you ask for out of this team? Their starting quarterback's been hurt all year. They've been playing, you know, quarterback roulette with Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph. Just it's just crazy, man. I know the defense was playing well early on. They kind of fell off a little bit, but you know, 17 years in a row with a winning record isn't a fluke.
No, that's pretty impressive by him.
I didn't realize he's been there for that long. I didn't realize he's been the coach for that long.
Yeah, man. It was just I think we're. Pushing college there, Paul. Sheesh, he was still, he was pushing that. But no, and I think for them, it's also, you know, they're one of their franchise legends. They held on to Big Ben too long and whatnot, couldn't really properly develop, but they still have this amazing defense. They always had offensive linemen, defense, and offense. TJ Watt has really, he's one of the better. Defensive players in the game. So shot is keeping him around and they look good as well. So Kenny Pickett though, I think there was a headline that he, his competitor to him, of course it is, but apparently he's upset about he's healthy to play, but they named Rudolph a starter. So I don't know what to feel about that.
But you gotta go with who's hot, man.
Yeah. And it's not like Kenny Pickett's been blowing out, you know, the water out of the rain. I mean, if this is the 25 ranked offense with him playing. Yeah, he's got a 62% completion percentage record, but 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 2,000 yards and 12 starts. It's not really blowing out the water there. I mean, I know he's still very young, but CJ Stroud's already done passed him with total touchdowns in 1 year. And I look at the weapons that they have. They don't really have any household names.
No.
I don't really want to compare the two, but at the end of the day, Tomlin has went 17 seasons with a winning record. So, I mean,
he really knows what he's doing.
Can't really question his thought process on that. So, like I said, man. But, no, kudos to Mike Tomlin, man, because initially, man, he was in some rumors about letting him go. I said, y'all be stupid. Y'all let this coach go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all be stupid. Hey, listen, hand him keys until he's ready to go. I don't care if he eventually next year or the next 2 years, whatnot, he has a losing record. Figure it out. You got some decent quarterbacks coming out next few years. Who knows? Maybe Michael Penix slipped. We'll talk about later in this podcast. Maybe he slipped. And you imagine him on a Mike Tomlin? Okay. So I'm just saying, be patient. Be patient. And be gratified, Steelers fans, that you got a guy that still wins you, get you a winning record within 17 seasons, because not a lot of us fans that like football and our certain teams has not been fortunate to see that. So,
because there could have been a point this year where they hopped on that whole tank train and were like, no, we're just gonna call it and see what happens in the draft. Mike Tomlin ain't that kind of guy.
Yeah, nah, for sure. All right, Paul, how do you assess your team performance this week?
Oh, we fucking suck. Don't matter.
Part of this guy's thanks segment coming up later.
We got worried. I mean, the game was close. They had a chance. Tyrod Taylor played well. We didn't have a show last week because of the holidays, but RIP Tommy DeVito. That was short lived. It was fun while it lasted. But yeah, whatever. Season's over. It's just whatever.
Yeah. My Broncos been winning. 16-9 defeated Chargers. Stidham, we didn't really break this down. I can break a little bit down. We hit the whole Russell Wilson situation. So apparently, I guess he was asked by Broncos management that if his 2025 injury guarantee can be pushed back, it was a March 2024 trigger date. He can be pushed back to that. He's owed $39 million over in 2024. That's not without the injury guarantee. So pretty much it was, hey, you waive this and push this back or else. And then the or else was to bench him. Me personally, we paid him the money. And as a player, if he's underplaying for us, at my point, I like, listen, is the contract ridiculous? Absolutely. But guess what? Y'all paid him. So now you got to do these special stipulations. And I just don't like how the player relations of it handling, because I know someone mentioned like, well, it's the Broncos. So, you know, a few years, maybe this dust over, but in the media, if you try to sign some free agents or sign your own players and they see how you shafted a player that way, just doesn't look good in trying to recruit and have discussions with agents, because they will bring that up. So I think that's part of respect about the actor effect, what it could have. Russell went on this winning streak, and this was actually before the Kansas City game that they was having these discussions, and then we went on this winning streak and whatnot. So maybe that's a little bit of motivation, but you know, it takes just not him. It takes Cortland Sutton. It takes Javonte Williams. It takes our defense to make a turnaround. So it wasn't just him. It was our players that turn around, and we're still somewhat in position to get a wild card. A bit of a long shot that we have, but it is there. Stidham came in and against a lifeless Chargers team, did what he did. I mean, yeah, they're just Chargers is just. I mean, I hope you have a segment for them, Paul, and your segment coming up. But you choose who you want to. If they're in there, they're right for deserving, man. But Stidham, you know, 20 out of 32 passes, 224 yards on the touchdown. Obviously, he's a backup, so there's going to be signs of rust, struggling a little bit of accuracy. You know, the real game come up, you got to play the Raiders that beat us early in the year. You know, you can beat them and put us in position for a playoff wild card spot, so be it. We'll see, man. But I just – it kind of rubs me the wrong way how they handle this Russell Wilson situation. And I guess getting out to the public, I just kind of – got me feeling a certain way, but I don't know. I definitely feel like Russell is not going to be bad next year. Obviously, with this move, I always thought Sean Payton kind of Russell Wilson is more nice than other people, man. But the way that Sean Payton has treated this man has been, there's been some points of like disrespect at some point.
It's been rocky since jump, right? Like he more or less told him like, hey, we're not here to kiss babies and all this, like we're here to play football.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's one of those, man, that I hope it doesn't have a rippling effect when it comes to attracting free agents. This is a team that, since we won the Super Bowl in 2015 and now it's 2024, so we're on the thread to make the playoffs. So we miss this one, it'd be 9 years straight for our playoff berth. So it's getting kind of cold over here in Denver, man. So, all right, player of the week, Paul, who's invited to the barbecue? Thought to me, what you cooking them, my man?
I mean, it hurts to say it, but I'm gonna give it to CeeDee Lamb. I mean, it's hard to deny the fact that my man had a game last week. You know, 227 receiving yards, a touchdown, broke all kinds of Cowboy franchise records. You know, anytime you're up there with Michael Irvin, you're doing things. So hates to say it because he's a Cowboy, but CeeDee Lamb can come on down to the barbecue. We got a bunch of leftovers from the holidays. So we got some ham in there. We got some – my mom made some baked ziti. We got some eggplant parmesan. We got all kinds of stuff in here. My girl made a bunch of treats and cookies and all kinds of stuff. But we can go and get them real nice and fat, hopefully slow them down for the postseason.
There you go. Speaking like a true NFC East rival, so – right to the barbecue, I'm gonna give a shout out to Najee Harris, 27. He got rushing attempts, had 122 yards with two touchdowns. Dude was just eating. It's probably the best I've seen Najee Harris kind of play over the last few seasons or so. I'm speaking of experience that I have as a fantasy running back. I used to kick myself sometimes when I started him, but so of course I pay attention to some of his games last year, but this year, listen, he's been solid, and he had a great showing. Really helping along with the whole, since their quarterback room is dealing with a lot of injuries, a lot of flipping out who's starting, who's not, who's coming back from injuries. So amidst all the changes and them helping them lead the Steelers to a 9-7 record, helping Mike Tomlin secure that 17 straight record where they – are over 500, so kudos to him. Najee, I know you play for Bama, so I'm going to go ahead and make you some dirty rice. I'm going to put some Italian sausage, scramble that bad boy up with some ground beef. I go ahead and make some pork chops and gravy, slow cook the pork chops for you. And definitely
Najee drinks dark liquor too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He you know what? I don't know if he remember what the Incredible Hulk is because I know he's younger than us.
I saw a meme about that the other day, and I was like, oh, man.
Dude, yeah. Hey, memories, right? That stuff was rough, man. That stuff was rough. But, hey, if not, you want to try the Hypnotic and the Hennessy, we made the Incredible Hulk because you like Alabama running backs. Y'all always big and country as hell. Bring it over, man. We'll go ahead and throw a few back, man, while we eat this dirty rice and some.
He'll
some
need pork that Henny after that Rose Bowl loss to Michigan. He'll need that.
Hey, there you go. Well, I'm pretty sure he'll bring it in and then move on to there. So good stuff. All right. Paul, this guy stinks. Stink meter. This guy stinks. I'll let you take over. I'm sure you got your segment. We was off last week, so we couldn't hear it. So I'm pretty sure you got something for the people, man. So,
all right, man, it's a new year. It's a new year, 2024. Trying to be a different guy, okay? Trying to have a more positive outlook. Trying not to be as negative on some of these people. But let me tell you, the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Smith, this team, losing 37-17. They were leading the division a couple weeks ago somehow. They've had every opportunity to be in a position to win the division. I don't know how. You got weapons like Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts, and for some reason, they just don't know how to get him the ball. They've had Taylor Heineke this whole time, and Desmond Ridder started most of the season. I don't know why. Tyler Heineke is not a terrible quarterback. I mean, he played pretty bad last week, but it is what it is. But for me, the Atlanta Falcons, they fucking stink. And it's a shame that Arthur Smith's only been around for a couple years, but he's probably not going to have a job after this year because that team fucking So that's the Atlanta Falcons. They're just bad, man. I know it's the someone's got to have it division. And right now it looks like it's going to be between New Orleans and Tampa.
Tampa had their chance. They blew it, man.
Yeah, yeah. The whole NFC South, man. I don't know. The whole NFC South.
Oh, my God, dude. They literally streaked really
Baker Mayfield
well.
Baker Mayfield was football Jesus for about 2 weeks. And that came down real quick. So
what we'll happened? Division, right?
Luckily for them, they got the Atlanta Falcons in there who just absolutely fucking blow.
Hey, but, can I add?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I add one to your this guy stinks?
Sure, go ahead.
2024 started off with a bang. I don't know if you saw the video of the guy spearing the judge. Did you see that video yet?
No.
No, you haven't seen it? I swear to God, you got to go see it. So apparently I guess the judge laid down the sentence against this African-American gentleman that was in Las Vegas. This dude literally spears the stand and frog leaps. Now the judge, I don't know why she moves so slow. And she, like, he spears this lady judge. So you see the guy, there's an undercover cop that's punching. It was weak. I don't know why he punched him. I'm like, dude, it's no punch. So I do want to say, hey, listen, you did the crime, don't do the time. Now you definitely finna be burning the bell. That was fraudulent, my boy. So you stink for that. But it was
you can't be tackling lady judges, man. You can't do that.
So now, because Twitter and S is just on top of things like this, there's been a bunch of memes just with that. So like one was like, oh, when Bill Clinton found he's on the Epstein list, he goes spear somebody. So it's memes everywhere. So I promise you, once you get done with this podcast, you got to go see it.
That's on my top of my list of things to do right now.
So that guy stinks.
Oh, that guy stinks real bad. Yikes! If there's ever a sign of guilt, it's throwing a temper tantrum after you got in trouble.
Yeah, oh, brother. Come on, man.
And then obviously the theme of the week. Just officials, referees, zebras, period. Fuck them. Are they horses? What are they? I don't know. They're just out there hanging out. Fruit stripe gum. That shit sucks. Anything involved with a zebra stinks. Zebras stink. Refs stink. And refs causing, you know, being the reason why there's outcomes in these games and stuff like that. Just refs making bad decisions, bad calls. So to the entire zebra community, That's for the zebras out there. Zebras stink. Perfect. I don't know what they are. I don't know what their purpose is. They're just striped horses. I don't know. But they suck. And lastly, Alabama running the ball on 4th and 3 from the goal line. to try to tie in the Rose Bowl and go in a second overtime. I know Nick Saban is supposedly one of the greatest coaches of all time, but I don't know if Jim Harbaugh knew that play was coming. I don't know if they had that shit recorded. I don't know what was going on, but you can't do that. That's too big of a game.
Yep.
That's too big of a game to do that. And you know, just the play calling of that game. And also, did you see the pregame when they were talking about Milroe's little clothing line that he has?
Oh, the naysayers.
Yeah, naysayers. So shout out to all the naysayers out there. I have never seen two black dudes on TV laugh so hard in my life.
Pat McAfee is the beast. He's so funny, dude.
Like, but just Desmond Howard and Joey Galloway just lost it completely when he said, "That's not. I don't think that's what that means."
No, that's not. That's definitely not what it means.
That is not what that means.
No.
So
no.
You know, shout out to Pat McAfee, but Alabama, your play calling in the end of that game to try to get to a national championship. And just, you know, that's my new word of the week now. So just let a naysayer know, man.
Yeah. Shout out to all my naysayers out there.
Shout out to all the naysayers out there.
Hey, this for all my naysayers and everybody in the streets. What's up, naysayer?
That's right. Yeah. So shout out to all the naysayers out there. It's 2024. Let's not tackle judges.
And Paul wants to see this video so bad. He wants to see the video so bad.
And let's just get rid of zebras.
Definitely. Dude, I can't wait to hear your reaction when you see this video. It's so funny, man. It's so funny. All right, let's move on. Listen, I know we did our weekly top five picks, but I think we're at a point now. We're just going to go ahead because there's 1 week left. We'll just go into Casey's weekly picks. So let me add this to my screen here, and then I will let Mr. Matt take over once again.
Kevin didn't send us his picks, so I don't got Kevin's picks. So it's just you and me, pal.
Let's go.
No, here we go. Saturday, January the 6th, Pittsburgh Steelers at Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens are resting, so the Steelers will win this game.
I still think Baltimore wins. I think Humley's not bad. I think they're still in a position to win that game. I know Pittsburgh's kind of playing for something, but I think Baltimore's still the better team at home.
So I'm Baltimore. You know, it'd be funny, though. I know they won't do it, but they do play most of their stars just in spite to make Pittsburgh lose would be hilarious. But I think they got bigger tasks at hand. So
it will find out. Saturday, 8:15. Big one. Ooh. Houston Texans at Indianapolis Colts.
It's going to be a good one.
A lot of playoff implications here.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Texans on the road.
I'll take the Colts. I'm going to go with the Colts. I think they're kind of playing a little bit better right now. Yeah. I mean, it's a coin flip, but I'll take the Colts. I'll roll Gardner Minshew. Do you see the mic'd up they had? So apparently when they played the Raiders, every time Max Crosby hit Gardner Minshew, he kept calling him like a little boy. Little ass boy. And then there's a clip of Gardner Minshew. He's just like, man, why is Max Crosby so intense? Every time he hits me, he calls me a little ass boy. He's like, I ain't even that little. This shit is funny. It's just he's on the sideline, just like, what is he doing? He's angry.
Wow. Oh, man. Come on, Gardner Minshew. I did not see that, but that's hilarious, by the way.
It's pretty funny. Sunday, 1:00. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Carolina Panthers. Do the Panthers play spoiler?
No.
Which Baker Mayfield shows up to this game?
Very true. Very true. We're going. But they should beat them. Should and could and would. They'll win this game.
Yeah, it's Tampa's game to lose. I'm taking Tampa. Carolina sucks. 1:00, Cleveland Browns at Bengals. Bengals playing for nothing. They're eliminated from the playoffs. Browns already clinched.
Browns?
I mean, from what I understand, Joe Flacco is going to play. They're not benching any of their guys. So,
Week 18, man. Week 18. Week 18 is here.
Is Joe Flacco the best QB in the league right now besides Lamar Jackson? Like, is that a real thing? Like, for the last, 5 weeks, has anybody played better than Joe Flacco?
Hey, man, come off the couch, back up, doing things, man. Hey, crazy. Looking good. You looking good.
I'll take the Browns.
Yeah.
Move to 12-6. That's crazy. That's crazy that they're in the same division as the Ravens and they're going to have potentially 12 wins. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. 1:00. Minnesota Vikings at Detroit Lions.
Lions already clinched their division,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And this was the only – well, it was the only team that can really – them and the Bears that kind of got them recent. I'm not deep analyzing this game. Lions are –
yeah, I think the Lions are – I think the Lions are mad. I think they're going to make a statement.
Yeah, Lions win.
I expect the Lions to win this one handedly. So I'm going to go Detroit. All right. A game that once meant something many, many years ago now means absolutely nothing. The New York Jets at New England Patriots. Potentially Bill Belichick's final game as a Patriots head coach. Who knows?
Hey, it happened to be at Gillette Stadium too. So interesting. How did my Broncos
lose? It's like watching a cripple fight.
Yeah. Both my team happened to lose to both of these teams, so I came and poked fun at them. Embarrassing. But Jets will win.
Yeah, Jets are a better team. You'd think the Jets would win this one. Zappy's back to being crappy, so I'm gonna go with the Jets. All right. Next game, Atlanta Falcons at New Orleans Saints. You're now at the Falcons.
Yep. So this somebody has got a division. We're gonna have an interesting tiebreaker between the Bucs and the Saints. And one of these teams is gonna have a home field advantage. So yeah, Saints to win. And then that division between those two teams will be chaos with a 500. Well, no, they'd be above 500. One game above 500. So Saints win.
If Tampa wins and Saints win, they'll both be 9-8. So I don't know who has the tiebreaker. But interesting. The fact that either of them would get a home game is blasphemous, but that's fine. I'm gonna go with the Saints just because they were my pick to win the NFC South. So at least I'll sound kind of like I know what I'm talking about if they pull it out.
There you go.
Let's see. 1 o'clock Sunday, Jacksonville Jaguars at Tennessee Titans.
Man, that's crazy how the Jag was like dominating, and now the Texans and the Colts and them are like tied. So like, this is nuts, man.
And the Colts and Texans play each other. So Jacksonville's just got to win.
That's all they got to do. They just got to win.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like so. I'm trying
they
to figure out what's
they best. Own the tie. They own the tiebreakers. I'm pretty sure. So they just got to win.
Trevor Lawrence is still questionable?
I think so.
Jasper will find a way to win it. I'll be real disappointed, man. I hope they find a way to win it. And I think they will. They'll go up to Nashville and find a way.
Kevin's favorite place.
Yep. I hope for his sake they win, man.
I'm a fan of the teams that are just out of it and have the opportunity to play spoiler. So I'm gonna roll with the Titans just because I'm a fan of a good just fucking fall for a team that was riding high that just crashes face first into the ground. So
man,
I'm gonna go with Tennessee.
We gotta check on Kevin next week. That happens.
425, Seattle Seahawks at Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals coming off a big win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Meant nothing. It hurt Philly, but
yeah.
We'll see what Seattle's got. So Seattle at 8-8, Cardinals at 4-12.
Cardinals going to the streets. Season strong, baby. I'm going with the Cardinals.
Are the Seahawks still in a wild card spot? Are they still in a position for a wild card?
Yeah, let's see. They should be. Let's take a look at the playoff standings here. Playoff pitcher. Give me a second while my internet loads up and this comes up. Playoff pitcher. That is loading up. All right. That's a good question, but I'm trying to figure out. Check
what NFL.com. NFL.com stinks, man.
It is trash, dude. It is trash. And it's got this interactive thing that's making it slow. So let's just go to standings. Because I can tell you.
I'm going to assume they are. I mean, they'll be 9-8.
Yeah. I think they are.
Because right now they're in there with Green Bay. There's a bunch of conference teams that are kind of.
Okay, so let's go to conference here, and let's see. Wow, NFL.com is need to be on your stink segment, bro. I'm there. Oof.
Well, that's just a weird order. That's not even. There we go.
There it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're fine with Green Bay. And yeah, they're pretty much fine with Green Bay.
So right, so they're fighting with Green Bay. And then New Orleans is down there too.
But New Orleans and Tampa just pretty much gonna be fine for their division. Or that's weird too. I wonder how it's gonna play out too. Maybe one of them knock out the Seahawks if they lose.
All right, well, so Seattle has a chance. Pete Carroll, great coach, fighting for a playoff spot. I'm gonna take Seattle.
Okay.
Still hope.
Yeah.
All right, Bears at Packers.
And this is the Packers who needs to win.
Who would have thought Green Bay would be where they are?
I know they had some losses recently in Lambeau Field. Justin Fields been playing pretty well now. It's funny how the world kind of was upside down from the beginning of the year. But damn, man, they're almost a 500 ball club. Not bad considering the turnaround that they had here. Packers will win, though. Packers will win.
Yeah, and they got Aaron Jones. They got Aaron Jones back. That was a huge thing for them last week. He ran for 120 yards, first game back. Yeah, I'll take Green Bay just because it'll make the playoff standings interesting. I'm interested to see how that all plays out with the playoff picture there, fighting for that final wild card spot. So I'll take Green Bay. All right, Chiefs at Chargers. They already said they're resting Mahomes. He's not going to play. I don't even know who their backup quarterback is. So does it matter versus the Chargers?
Doesn't matter. And they already got the division because our division stinks. And so really doesn't matter if they lose. Rest Pat Mahomes, which is a smart choice for the Chiefs. And try to go into the offseason probably with a cigar victory. But their quarterback is not good either. Slick, whatever his name is. Eason Stick.
Stick'em?
Yeah.
Stickly?
Chargers win.
Chargers win? Oh, wow. Wow. All right.
I know.
Broncos at Raiders.
Raiders always have our number for the recent year, for the past few years. Can't just stand the Raiders. Oh, man. So much time going on with the Broncos. They need to win this to have a chance. I'm going to ride with them. It's last game of the year. We'll win, and then we'll probably just look on the outside getting out. But
reassess it later.
Yeah.
I'll go Raiders. I'll go Vegas.
All right.
I'll go Vegas and Max Crosby calling everybody a little ass boy the whole game.
Watch out, Jarrett Stidham. He's coming for you, dog.
All right, Sunday, 4:25. Eagles at Giants. I'll just go first. I hope the Giants pull something out of their hat and just play spoiler. So I'm going to go Giants.
That would be fantastic just to see just the world falling down for Eagles fans. I think it'd be hilarious if Giants can pull up the upset. Although I don't think it'll happen, though. I think Eagles will win this game in a tightly contested game. They have enough to get the Eagles fan nerves up and running, blood pressure up and high. But
it was close. It was close 2 weeks ago. Giants made a rally. It was close.
Yeah.
So
it was.
We'll see. For sure. Next game, the Los Angeles Rams at Niners. I believe Matt Stafford and Brock Purdy are not going to play.
Well, considering that Brock Purdy is just a piece of toppings. I don't know who I was going to play, but 49ers at home, they're closing strong.
I don't even know who the Rams backup quarterback is. Like, I don't even know. I feel like one of these teams has Sam Darnold as a backup quarterback, and I don't know which one it is.
49ers?
Is it the 49ers?
It's the 49ers.
Either way, that's not a win. So, I mean, cool. But, yeah, I'll take the Niners. I know McCaffrey's not going to play. He's been a little dinged up. So, I'll still take the Niners, though. Niners
beat smart, the Rams. Smart to rest him. Yep.
Yeah, no need to play him. Sunday, 4:25, Cowboys at Commanders.
Cowboys, I'm sure, is playing everybody. They're still in a dog fight with Philly. So,
Cowboys on the road. On the road.
Yep. Yep. Cowboys win, and then they have a tiebreaker over the Eagles, I think. So they
do.
They won a division. They're a tough road team, though. So once the Pride and Commanders come out here swinging.
Nah, Commanders fucking suck, dude. I hate Dallas as much as the next person, but Washington stinks. I'll take Dallas. All right. Sunday night, 8:20. Oh, that no Monday night football game. Okay. Sunday night, 8:20, Buffalo Bills at Miami Dolphins for all the marbles in the AFC East.
Probably because of that national championship game. Pause why they don't have the game on Monday.
There it is.
To answer your question, though, and it's in Miami. I think the Bills come back. That claim this division. That's as grueling as they did it, and how crazy they did it, and where they came from. Bills gonna find a way to win this game, and Dolphin fans are just gonna be up in disarray.
Yeah, that team was dead, man. Buffalo was dead. Then they were back. Then they were dead again. Then they were dead again. And then some shit came out that the head coach compared them to like Al Qaeda on 9/11. And then they've just been on a streak. So,
brother,
you know what I mean?
It's a hot take.
It's a real hot take.
That's dirty work right there.
That take stinks. But, like I said before, I'm a fan of a good fall from grace. And all these Miami fans riding high all year and all this shenanigans. I'm taking Buffalo to win the game. They win, they're in, they get the division. They get the 2 seed. That's crazy.
It's crazy, man.
Division was just there for the taking. And Buffalo still might get it.
I'm telling you. Good picks. We got two more Samuel to close this bad boy up. So let's talk about college football playoff semifinals. Michigan defeats Alabama 27-20 in overtime. And Washington defeat Dallas or Texas. Wow. Texas. They play in Austin, guys. Austin. I don't. Yeah. 37-30. So, Paul, I want to ask you, did the CFP committee get it right?
Yes. Based off of what I watched of those two games, they got it right. I'm glad we don't have to witness another Georgia-Alabama national title. I feel bad about what happened to Florida State. That was real bad. So it's unfortunate that, you know, one big injury can do that to you. But based off of those two games, you couldn't have asked for two better games. And those games were down to the wire the whole way. Those teams were fighting it out. It's going to be interesting to see Michigan versus Washington for the national title.
Number one offense versus the number one ranked defense is what I've heard in college football.
Penix, is that his name, the quarterback for Washington?
Michael Penix Jr. He's from Tampa, Florida, by the way.
That dude is a lefty that can sling it.
I am watching him close for potential replacement.
He's the kind of guy, he throws a hell of a deep ball.
Dude, and the way he lob it up there, it's a thing of beauty, man. So, like, you got to make sure that his draft stock is rising. Dude had 430 yards, 29 for 38 on 2 touchdowns. Dude was just – I'm just trying to figure out that dude didn't win the Heisman, but the kid, Daniels, has had a hell of a season for LSU too. So,
yeah.
I'm just trying to go back into the play. I think the CFP committee got it right. I know a lot of Florida State fans feel some certain type of way. I honestly think if Jordan Travis healthy, they will be in there. But nobody want to, we'll never know. Then they talked about Monroe only had like 115 passing yards, but somehow they still was 27-20. And I don't think Florida State does that against Michigan. Just no. Me personally, I don't think it'd be a close game.
Not without Jordan Travis. No, it would have been bad.
No, exactly. And at least with Alabama having a running game, I know Florida State got a little bit of a running game as well too. But these two games came down to these two plays. You have Blake Corum's 17-yard run in overtime, which was just fantastic. And then Elijah Jackson deflected Quinn Ayers' pass to Donald Mitchell, which was just timely. It's this I enjoy just watching these two games. I sat down and watched both of these games, man. And I thought,
I don't watch a lot of college football. And I found myself glued to the TV watching the tail end of both of those games. I watched the entire fourth quarter in the overtime of the Michigan game. And then I caught the whole fourth quarter of the Washington-Texas game. And I was like, man, this is college football. Like those two games felt like the four best teams in the country were playing each other, and they were trying to get to a national championship.
Yeah, no, I thought they did.
You just hate to see one of them lose, two of them lose.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So hopefully we set up for a great show on Monday. With Michigan versus Washington, Pac-10 is still alive in their last year of existence. So it was cool to see, man. Maybe it's a story right in. They go out on top, man. Or Jim Harbaugh. Hopefully, don't steal any signals.
Just they're talking about that. He might be a candidate for the Chargers job.
I heard.
With all the stuff going on with him in Michigan. Well, the stuff happening over there. I mean, probably. Who knows, man? Who knows?
To get out there, a lot of accusations and stuff like that. So, but no, I thought fantastic all the way around with the college football games, and I enjoyed them and looking forward to see if we have a competitive game, and that's Monday. So Detroit basketball ended their record-setting 28-game losing streak this past Saturday before the year end on 12/30. Defeating the Toronto Raptors 129-127. All this was a miss of a trade that they had between the Knicks and the Raptors.
I was gonna say a lot of the Raptor guys didn't play.
Yeah. So maybe the NBA manufactured that way. I don't know. But listen, I'm just say from personal experience, Paul, I have saw a basketball team that I root for lose 20 plus games in a row, and it's not fun. It's really not fun. This happened back in 2003 when we had Tracy McGrady, and it was in December and January where they literally had a segment on ESPN called Black Magic. That's how bad we were. it was atrocious. So
you can't have that when I now.
No, I felt those. I got family in Detroit, so I felt their pain. And I was relieved to see them win. Kay Cunningham, it's not his fault. He's been hooping very well. He's been playing fantastic. So that team just doesn't seem to fit. Then they turn around and start a new losing streak, and they lost to the Rockets 136-113. So hooray! So the thing with them, Paul, they win a game, they get free bonus six piece combo from Wingstop if you attend the game. So
they don't even got to score like 100. They just got to win and you get a prize.
Well, just like Papa John's, you get 50% off your order. They do wings. Yeah. You get a free six-piece bonus wing combo. So a lot of memes was going on when Detroit wins. They had the SpongeBob guy, get the fries ready because I'm ready to eat. shout out to the Pistons and
some of their guys are, like, I think you said, like, some of their guys aren't terrible. That doesn't mean they play well together. They got some guys.
They do. They got Jared Durham. They have Jaden Ivey, who plays too fast, but he's got enough talent inside of him to try to do what it is. They got an asset and Bojan Bogdanović that they can trade and get some assets. So I'm still laughing at the fact that Paul, one of my coworkers, not a manager that I work with, literally made a bet with me that the Pistons was going to have a better record than the Magic. So
He owes you a freaky piece wing stop.
Yep. And he owes me a steak. We made a bet. And I want him to watch me eat this steak with plastic cutlery so he can see how dumb this bet was.
Yeah, the Pistons some barbecue sauce on it too to make it fucking uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. I'm getting a baked potato loaded with everything. And I'm just gonna make them uncomfortable. It's like, yes, remember you told me that why my knife is breaking. Remember you told me that the Pistons to be better than the Magic? Yeah. Give me another knife.
That's a hot take. That's bad. That's
tough. Really, really hot take. So it's gonna happen here soon. So
but well, you're mad about what, 20 wins going into the new year?
We're at 19. We lost to the Golden State. We just got to win. This road trip is tough, but we're 19-14. Of course, Jonathan Isaac missing. Cole Anthony just got announced that he got hurt. He had a hamstring injury. So the injuries are piling up again. So typical year for a Magic fan, but they just got to navigate through it. But I did book my first Magic road game. I'll be flying to San Antonio in a month.
Hey.
Super excited for that. Yep. Got the hotel and the flight book. Excited to go explore the Riverwalk and go to the Alamo. And as Charles Barkley said, I'm going to see how big the women are out there. You know, see if I want to find me a cute little girl. I want to get a churro with me.
See how big fucking Women Yama really is.
Oh, yeah. That too. Make sure he eats some churros too, man.
Jesus Christ.
No, that's all love, man. But I'm super excited to go out there. So that's one. Yes, sir. All right, guys. Well, this will do it for us. We're so glad to be back. 2024. We're going to a few more guests to get on the show and everything like that. So we missed the episode last week due to holiday, family, all that. So I hope you guys got to enjoy it with your family and friends and your loved ones. Now we're back to it. As Paul mentioned before the show, we go to the gym. The gym's packed. That's why Paul's working out from home. So, nonetheless, guys, stay tuned for me and Paul throughout the week. We'll be back at it, of course, next week, and we'll get to it. So you can follow the podcast page at BLC Podcast. You can find me at NMINACP, Mr. Mac.
Yeah, on X at @the_Paul_Mac, and on Instagram at @thepaulmac520. Yeah, that's it, man. And then anywhere you get your podcasts, we're on there. Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, whatever. No matter. We're in there.
Yep. So
while you're waiting to use that leg machine at the gym, pop us in.
Tune us in, man. So anchor.fm/Cortez-Paul for Spotify. As Paul mentioned, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, everywhere that you heard, where you heard before. So once again, we do thank you guys for listening to the show. We send many a blessings in 2024, and make sure everything works out for you in your favor. But speaking for Paul Mack and Cortez Paul, Lost My Court Podcast, we want to thank you guys again and enjoy the rest of your evening. Take care, guys.
Peace.
Awesome.